Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills that are disturbing the flow of the prose. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 97, Amateur Nation, Land of Hypocrisy. I always like to share a story about my real-life encounters with Amateur Nation. This one, on the one hand, is typical amateur behavior, nothing new, but now, thanks to the political and social climate where everyone, now more than ever, is a victim and thinks that it's their chance to scream and cause a scene, takes on a whole other level. I was having happy hour drinks and snacks with a friend of mine while we talked business about a TV show we're developing, kind of a business lunch, so to speak. And of course, it's outdoor seating. And as we are seated, I noticed that there's a guy behind me with his little dog on a leash. He himself was seated by himself. We're about 5 minutes in to the meeting, and this amateur starts playing music on his speakerphone, loudly. It's right over my left shoulder. I assume he's on hold or something for like a call he's making and that this is just the hold music. I'm thinking, all right, give it a minute or two. He'll take his call and I won't have to hear this. But it kept going on, so I asked nicely, hey man, would you mind turning that down a bit or taking it off speaker? Do you think he did? Of course not. He's an entitled amateur. A few more minutes pass, and now he has turned the volume up. Now he's annoying the party of four sitting on the other side of him. Again, I say, please, can you turn that down? He shoots back, and I'm not exaggerating, I don't like the way you're speaking to me. You've been barking orders at me since you sat down. Of course, this amateur got that precious attention he craves, and the waiter came over and asked what the problem was. Again, this amateur says, he's been barking orders at me since he sat down. Right away, the waiter, poor guy, bad enough he has to wear a mask, but put up with this nonsense from the limited customers that they're actually allowed to have thanks to our Emperor of California, he could tell that this amateur was the problem and not me. So I, of course, after the amateur said that I was, quote, barking orders at him since I sat down, I told the amateur, I haven't barked any orders at you. In fact, I asked nicely twice, and I even said please, but there won't be a third time. The party of four nearby were laughing at this idiot, and the waiter made him turn off his speakerphone. He went to the bathroom, came back, gathered his things, but not before he let his chihuahua walk through the restaurant off its leash. Remember how we're all supposed to, like, be safe and worry about, you know, sanitary conditions? Let a dog roam through a restaurant in the patio, right next to the busy Ventura Boulevard, by the way. Amateurs always think they're at home. The dog's off the leash, he's on speakerphone, he had his shoes off. I mean, come on, he's at home. The only difference is he happens to be in a different location. It's still home, right? The dog walked near me and I said, you know what, you're better behaved than your owner. Then the amateur left. Once again, pros have to clean up the messes of amateurs. Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. As of the recording of this episode, there are 134,884 coronavirus-related deaths in America. Of course, if you think that number is accurate and not inflated and shows the direct result of dying from COVID-19, you're kidding yourself. 0.0004% of the population has died from this. That's 4/100,000 of the U.S. population, roughly 1 out of every 25,000 Americans. Yeah, better shut it all down. In the California Super Lotto, getting 4 out of 5 of the numbers, not including the mega number, is about 1 in 7,600. Have you ever gotten 4 of the 6 numbers? Ever? Here's some more math for you. The odds of winning the California Lotto with 1,000 tickets is 1 in 41,000. And your odds of being murdered by a gun are the same as dying from COVID. 1 in 25,000. That is, unless you live in New York or Chicago. Now, of course, this is not counting compromised immune systems or other high-risk groups. Now, admittedly, these numbers that I gave you with the odds, not counting the lottery numbers, of course, are based on a 2002 census figures when the population was 287 million people in the United States. But it should give you some perspective. California, where I'm based, is now in the process of yet another shutdown. We're actually going backwards. Apparently, Emperor Newsom's $1 billion worth of masks that the state paid for did not meet the CDC standards. So now we all have to be punished. Oh, and let's not forget the fact that he'll have let out 8,000 prisoners to infect the rest of us. And isn't the idea of quarantining to keep the sick in one area? If the prisons were so overrun with cases, well, they're already enclosed and quarantined. If this was a colony of lepers, you wouldn't release them into the wild, or if they had SARS or bird flu, right? This is supposed to be so much worse than SARS or bird flu, so Gavin Newsom lets them out? And if you think that the protesters and rioters didn't have a massive input on the fact that there's this surge in cases, again, you're a delusional amateur. Amateurs will argue that it's because we ate at restaurants and got our hair cut. But we were masked and we got our temperatures checked upon entry, your emperorship. I'm guessing the rioters and looters and protesters and prisoners did not line up for testing and wear their masks. Which is odd, because by definition, people who loot, riot, and are former prisoners are normally socially and physically responsible people. I was reading directly from the California Department of Public Health regarding masks, and I quote, "A cloth face covering is a material that covers the nose and mouth. It can be secured to the head with ties or straps or simply wrapped around the lower face. It can be made of a variety of materials such as cotton, silk, or linen. A cloth face covering may be factory made or sewn by hand, or can be improvised from household items such as scarves, t-shirts, sweatshirts, or towel." I'm quoting, you know, just like the doctors and nurses wear. You see a lot of doctors with a towel around their face, or a scarf, or one of their kerchiefs, right? A sweatshirt. I would love a doctor rolling up on me with a sweatshirt cut up and wrapped around his face. Yeah, that all sounds so scientific. Silk, homemade, linen, t-shirt, just like the medical labs. Better buy one of Emperor Newsom's masks. Oh wait, they're not up to par either. But I'm sure your kerchief that you made yourself works. What a fucking joke. Californians don't deserve California. As a resident for 23 years here, California is a wasted state. You know, I grew up in Northeast Ohio. I've moved around a lot in my life, but God, if the people that I knew and my fans and my friends and family that I grew up with in Ohio lived here, they would treat this state way better. And they would be more appreciative of it. We have beautiful weather, great restaurants, things to do, great sports teams, and it's squandered by constantly electing amateur incompetents like Gavin Newsom. And now you have the Ad Council stepping up their game by attacking your sense of humanity. The latest spot showing a person on a ventilator and how that could be your mom, your dad, your grandma, or your neighbor. Quick, hand me a mask. Guilt trips based on inconsistent flip-flopping science is what they call it, is how to get me to act. And by the way, you're assuming we all like our neighbors. What else you got, Ad Council? Keep trying. I keep hearing the same regurgitated sentiments. I guess all these health officials are wrong. Yeah. I do too. You know why? Because none are or have been 100% in agreement when it comes to masks. When to wear them, how to wear them, what they should be made out of. And when it comes to things like being able to breathe freely, go where I need to go, work, earn money, live my life, and not waste what will soon be 6 months of my life needlessly while businesses fail, crime skyrockets, suicide and depression are at an all-time high. Yeah, I'll need all the medical professionals, the ones not in the pocket of special interest groups, crooked politicians who buy masks from the very country that started this shit. I'll need a unanimous consensus. Thank you very much. Jesus Christ, one more person. I guess all the medical professionals must be wrong. Why would you possibly think that answers everything? I didn't know people in the medical field were perfect and also not crooked and not susceptible to, bribes, things like that, or simply make mistakes. And of course, by no means, by definition, I trust medical people. I love my doctor. I have a great dentist. right? I have a good dermatologist. In general, of course I trust medical professionals. Mine. The ones I talk to personally, who know me. But not when I hear that so-and-so works for this organization and they get all their money from this communist country or this big business that has their own interests at heart. But I'm not just going to, oh, Dr. Fauci said so? Who the fuck is this guy? I never even heard of this idiot, this Keebler elf until all this started. First of all, I can't listen to that guy's voice. It just grates my nerves. It's like, dude, get a lozenge. You're a doctor. Clear your throat. None of these medical officials have ever been on the same page. I go by what my doctor says. And I realize not everyone has a personal physician. I understand that. That sucks. I didn't have one for the longest time. Didn't need one. Or didn't have health insurance at that time. And I'm only regurgitating what I keep hearing. Well, I guess they're all wrong. I never said they all are wrong. My biggest issue is many are inconsistent. Or all are inconsistent. Or some seem to be flip-flopping. But the people who just demand that you wear a mask and thinks like literally the only thing that keeps you from living or dying is your homemade kerchief mask, you're a complete amateur. That has no logic. It holds no weight. It holds no water. How come no one, and by the way, when Gavin Newsom let out all these prisoners, if he was so concerned about them catching coronavirus and masks save all lives, how about you give some of those $1 billion worth of masks that you bought to them? Since, you know, they're already quarantined, you know where they're at, they are prisoners, they still have time on their sentence. Hey! Nah, it's easier. Get out there and fuck up everyone else's stuff. How come no one touts the, I guess you don't care about me sentiment when it comes to condom use? Theoretically, if someone doesn't use a condom, gets an STD, and then passes it on to you, amateur, don't they also not care about you? What, because you falsely think that that simply being around another human being puts you at risk for coronavirus? They think it's just in the air. You stay home. You are the person that is exactly who the ad council is talking about. High-risk group, you think you have it? Stay home. You're afraid of it? Stay home. You're afraid of it. I'm not. You would change your mind if you caught it. No, it would suck if I caught it. I would be sad and worried if I caught it. Wouldn't change the fact that I don't expect the whole world to shut down just because I have it. Daily, we read falsified COVID cases, faulty testing, fraudulent testing, kickbacks to hospitals, hospitals that are closing due to no patients, people waiting to get tested who did not and yet still somehow tested positive, false positives, ping-ponging opinions from Dr. Keebler L. Fauci, and I have yet to see consistent, unanimous science. Consistent, as in from day one. And by the way, for those who say hospitals are overwhelmed again, here's why. All those patients who put off getting elective surgery or non-life-threatening surgeries and procedures are now in the hospital. And yes, combined with the new COVID patients, yeah, hospitals are a little bit tasked right now. Yes, some more than others. And no, you don't get to say, well, this virus is evolving and we're always getting new data all the time. You've had 5 fucking months to all get on the same page. Not to mention, this wasn't the first time we heard of it. I'm talking about 5 months since it came to America. Funny how most of the cities and states with the resurge had the most protests, riots, and crime. What a coincidence. Nice job, leadership. And considering masks range from everything from medical grade to quite literally what I saw on a plane that I mentioned on this show, a guy who took a tube sock with a shoelace threaded through it and wrapped it around his mouth, nose exposed, still not buying it. United Airlines let that guy get on the plane and they gave me shit for taking mine off after I'd already had it off for 3.5 hours of a 5-hour flight. People use handkerchiefs and old t-shirts and sweat socks and anything in between that are just fashion rather than a real medical grade mask. It's illogical and lacks common sense. That would be like saying, well, you can wear a condom, but a sandwich baggie with a rubber band at the end will get it done. Just like the pre-virus era, I would never be around someone if I had a cold or the flu. I would not go to work. I wouldn't go do a show or an audition. I would wear a mask if I was around someone with a weakened immune system. I would wear a mask if I was in a hospital or doctor's office. But I'm not wearing a mask when I'm out by myself, outdoors, or anywhere where I'm not anywhere near people. It ain't happening. It's illogical, and there's no science behind it. And I know for a fact that not everyone who listens to this show is a pro. You might have some amateurs like, all right, I'm going to see what this show is about. Or they listen to it because they hate the stuff I say. But I haven't said anything here that's illogical. Not one thing. And I know the amateurs will say, well, okay, you want to take your chances? I do. I want to take my chances. One in 25,000 of dying from it? Yes, I want to take that chance. I'll take that chance at one in 2,500. No joke. Because there, I mentioned just a few other examples. One in 25,000 chance you die by a gunshot wound. Right? Are you leaving the house worried every day you might get shot? Maybe you are if you live in New York or Chicago. Oh, Lou, so what, the CDC is wrong? What, they're not human? They don't make mistakes? Doctors don't have all the answers. We trust that they have the best answer. And they're not always right. You ever heard of malpractice? Ever heard of negligence? Happens all the time. I don't think doctors are going out of their way to give us wrong information. No one's going to, probably no one's going to die from wearing a mask, except for idiots who wear them while they're driving or working out and pass out behind the wheel or at the gym, like I've seen firsthand. So it's an easy gamble for them. What's the worst that happened? They faint. CDC is wrong. I tell you what, CDC, that you're telling me they don't bow to pressure and answer to politicians and take money from them to give them the information that they want? Wake up, woke amateurs. For the people walking around outside alone and driving in their cars alone while wearing masks, do you really think the coronavirus is just floating around in the air? And furthermore, do you really think your mask, whether it's medical grade or in most cases a kerchief or some homemade version, is what the difference is between you dying while taking your walk and living? That's what's keeping you above ground? If this was just floating around in the air, wouldn't that make it the most volatile virus of all time, something you see in movies? Would you really walk around with your eyes and skin exposed if you thought a mere kerchief around your nose is what's keeping you alive? If you're wearing a mask while alone, outside, or in your car, by definition, you're admitting that the virus is in the air. But that air isn't getting into you at all because of your cool mask that you ordered with the funny picture on it? Yeah, I had to order a mask. I ordered one. I talked about it last week. And it reads, "This mask is as useless as our governor." I'll wear it where I have to, the grocery store, and I would say the gym, but that's closed again now. But I'm pretty sure I won't give the coronavirus to myself in my own car, or if I'm outside walking by myself. Hey, how'd you catch that cold? Oh, I coughed on myself, and I already had the cold, but I gave myself the cold. I don't know, I'm really stupid. You're wearing it outside while alone in your car. Shouldn't you wear it when you're at home alone? Right? Right? What's the difference? Your car? Home? It's still you alone. Or you're telling me the virus knows the difference between your car and your house? Put it this way. If I knew for a fact that masks worked, and I still did indeed believe that masks were effective, and yet I still chose not to wear one, of course, that would make me a bad person. Of course. The same way, if I knew I had the common cold and I went and did a stand-up comedy show and coughed all over the mic and shook hands with the other comedians and didn't cover my mouth, yes. The same way I know that if I don't want to give someone my cold and yet I go to work and I also cough and sneeze without covering my mouth, yes. But this is not that. But I'm not buying the propaganda, and I haven't from day one. That's the way it's always been in America. Freedom of choice to live the life you want to live as long as it doesn't harm anyone else. Oh, but Lou, if you're not wearing a mask, you are harming other people. Well, that's your opinion. There's no science behind it. No consistent, fact-based, easy-to-understand, logical science. That is your emotions guiding you. All of a sudden, there are no-name people with a false sense of power feel like they get to scream and shout and tell you what's wrong simply because they say so, or because they're afraid, or worse, they've invested so much time and effort into being afraid and following orders, it's become, hey, if I have to be miserable, so do you. And a little bit of that is, man, if I admit that I'm wrong after all this time, that will really mean that I've wasted a lot of my time and energy and time worrying. All right, suck it up, Buttercup. So what? At least you're on the side of common sense. The biggest question is, why are so many people eager, yes, eager to wear their masks and stay home and live in fear? How easily suggestible are you? Just because it's on TV, or it says the Ad Council or CDC, that's all it takes for you to follow orders? For those people who see their homemade masks as the thing keeping them alive because it's in the air and touching things and being around people will kill them, they should not only stay at home, but also not come out after this is over, which it has been. Oh, sure, the world will never be officially rid of COVID-19 or the flu, the chickenpox, the common cold, and gun violence. Better safe than sorry. Instead of telling everyone to be safe, maybe start saying be smart. Or be brave, or be pro. And by the way, this new shutdown in California proves nothing except the incompetence of our governor and mayor statewide, who let out prisoners, allowed infected people to cross our borders, and allowed rioters and protesters to go unchecked for weeks. Last time I checked, restaurants, even pre-COVID, couldn't allow hundreds or thousands of customers at a time. Topic number two. You know, it's one thing to marvel at how they market fear with the masks and stay home crap, but racism, or should I say anti-racism, takes on various marketing ploys as well. This from Forbes.com. Here's your headline. Uber Eats delivery fees canceled for black-owned restaurants. Equality, here we come! Yeah, I was pausing for the restaurant owners of other various races to answer, what the f***? I don't need to read the article. The headline says it all, and you can find it on the web. A couple things. You're assuming that just because a restaurant is owned by a black person or family that they're struggling or need or deserve a break simply based on the color of their skin? That sure sounds like racism to me. Oh, not when it benefits a certain race. Got it. I've seen more than once on social media posts and in articles around the web about how, quote, it's not enough to not be racist, but you must be anti-racist. Why do I find that funny? It's not enough to not be racist, but you must be anti-racist. All right, by definition, if you're not racist, you're probably against racism, aren't you? Otherwise, you would be pro-racist, which would simply make you a racist. What's with the doublespeak? Oh, it means that I have to take action against racism. No, I don't. You don't speak on my behalf, and I certainly don't take orders from hyperactive woke amateurs who think they get to decide public policy and my behavior. I don't answer to you. I know who I am, and I've got stuff to do. My day-to-day behavior and how I treat my fellow man, friends, family, and strangers is my body of work. That's my fucking resume. It's right up there with the videos going around where Black Lives Matter rioters are insisting other people actually say the words Black Lives Matter. Do they really think nagging, browbeating, harassing, and even threatening and beating people into simply saying those words means that those people believe the words they are saying? If you force me to say I'm a hippopotamus, it doesn't make me a hippopotamus. I have no idea why I picked that animal for my example. If anything, by those methods, it negates any goodwill regarding the message you're trying to get across, whether it's Black Lives Matter, Save the Whales, whatever. And by the way, it's not enough to be pro-dog, but you also must be anti-cat. It's not enough to be anti-dirty. You must be pro-clean. And of course, it's not enough to be anti-amateur. You must be pro-pro. I saw this in person last weekend. I was going to meet a couple buddies of mine to toss the softball around. I see a group of protesters. They were peacefully protesting. I'll give them that. And they were just, you know, minding their business, kind of loud, honk if you believe in Black Lives Matter with their picket signs, no problem. And one girl caught my eye. Why? Easily 3 inches of ass hanging out of her shorts and twice the inches of cleavage while she held a sign way above her head, shaking her hips side to side, being careful to shake that ass with the sign reading, and I quote, anti-racism is sexy. Well, I want to be sexy. That makes me take your message seriously. Hey, so tell me about this guy you're seeing. Oh, he's got a good job, nice family. Oh, and he's so sexy. Oh yeah, how so? Because he's anti-racism. I've never been so wet. For the record, I'm anti-racism. I'm also anti-murder, anti-rape, anti-robbery, anti-looting and rioting, anti-infringing on my rights, anti-anarchy that is masquerading as democracy, anti-stupidity, and anti-amateur. I will now begin my career as the ultimate supermodel. All this time, I was sexy, and I had no idea. topic number three. Two headlines for you from NBCSports.com. Nike removes all Washington gear from website, meaning the Washington Redskins. It's their virtue signaling in trying to get the Washington Redskins NFL team to change their name. However, this headline from Quartz.com. Companies still can't stop labor abuses at Chinese factories. On that list of companies using slave labor, Nike. Oh, by the way, that kind of slavery? Still going strong. But the U.S. really should do something about that slavery that happened over 200 years ago that we already eliminated. I wonder how many protesters and rioters wore Nikes to their protests. And considering Nike uses slave labor, shouldn't the NFL remove Nike as a sponsor? You know, it's pretty much common knowledge that FedEx is a major sponsor of the NFL, and they put pressure on the Washington Redskins to change their name. 2 points on that. And here comes some common sense. No company should ever be allowed to pressure another company in any manner. Not just sports, ever. And two, fine, FedEx, go somewhere else. I'm sure there's a company out there that will support not changing the Redskins' name, that would love that sponsorship. I don't know the exact dollar amount that FedEx sponsors the NFL. I know they have a stadium named after themselves. But you know what? You're not the only game in town. And maybe if I'm just making up a number here, let's just say FedEx spends $100 million sponsoring the NFL. I'm just making up a number. Don't hold me to that. Whatever the number is, we know it's big. Can we agree on that? Maybe another company? Well, geez, I can't come up with that kind of money to sponsor the NFL. No, but I bet you five companies total could. Get the fuck out. I'm done with you, FedEx. How often do I use you anyway? I won't miss you. If I got to spend an extra $2, $3, $10, twice the amount shipping my package using somewhere else, fine. Oh, well, then you're only hurting yourself. No. I'm making myself feel better because FedEx is not getting my money, and I know I did the right thing. I'm sure there's a company out there that will support not changing the name, but sponsors should not be allowed to intimidate organizations, and no company should be allowed to intimidate a competitor or someone they are working with based on political beliefs. Can we agree on that? Why? Those two, politics and sponsorship, should be mutually exclusive. Those two should absolutely never, ever, ever come into play. They are simply separate entities that don't mix. FedEx ships packages. They should not have a say on what logo is on a football team. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? I'm not going to use an example here. Pick the most heinous symbol you can imagine, stick it on the side of a helmet. That would still be wrong, right? Whatever you got imagined. But it doesn't give a sponsor the right. You know what? Walk away then, FedEx. Go sponsor something else. There's lots of other sports out there. Go spend your money on something else. My point is, no company should ever be supporting causes. Companies should not be supporting causes. Because those companies are made up of, in the case of FedEx, 425,000 employees. You mean to tell me they speak for everyone who works there? That's shameful, amateur, and frankly, should be illegal. Companies shouldn't have beliefs. People should. And when you say companies are boycotting or threatening due to political beliefs, then you're saying that companies are more powerful than each of us as individuals and that their opinion counts more than ours. And that should never be. Of course, the NFL is too busy getting ready for two national anthems to care. Now you have the NBA and their hypocrisy caving into China with not only their broadcast deals and sponsorship with Nike, and lo and behold, when you go onto their NBA shop to order your custom jersey, it allows political messages like defund police and kill cops. But when a man by the name of David Hookstead tried to get a free Hong Kong jersey, he was told that it was not allowed. Too many letters, despite the fact that he tried free King Kong and that worked just fine. Pick another message, they said. Finally, after being exposed, miraculously it worked. And fellow Ohioan LeBron James has $1 billion deal with Nike, and China, of course, broadcasts NBA games. So you know what, NBA players? You want to be all political? Instead of playing the game and stealing focus from the game and sucking the joy out of friendly competition, go to China. They got a league. Stay there. Join me in the boycott of the NFL and NBA. If China had a slogan, it would be, China, come for the coronavirus, stay for the communism. You got time for a quickie? How about a bunch of them? Let's start. I think I'll rewatch the movie 2012 to remind myself of a calmer world. Whether the rumors are true or not, Wayfair might want to change their slogan. Hey, Minnesota, you set fire to your own house and you let it happen and you don't get a dime for recovery. Let Antifa and the other rioters who clearly have so much energy rebuild and clean up for you since they care so much. Question. Why is it that we've never heard of the wealthiest cities in America being damaged by riots? No reports about violence and looting in Beverly Hills. Trust me, I drove right by it, not a scratch. Martha's Vineyard, Upper Manhattan, Silicon Valley. And you also notice the poor areas aren't really being devastated. Why do you think the rioters are targeting the middle-class businesses and homes? Come on, you know the answer to that question. I saw a commercial for Mac the other day, and their new slogan was, "Never stop making." You got that, everybody? Keep on pooping. Why are there so many odd colors and patterns on bath towels? I would easily say 95% of all bath towels are hideous. Towels should only come in a few select colors. Shades of white, maybe a light blue, a tan, a gray, that's it. What, red? I was watching one of those home design shows, they had red towels. What are you, in Hef's Mansion in the 70s? Black towels? Why would you want more darkness in a bathroom, which is by definition usually the smallest room in your house? And gross, black towels? You don't know when a black towel is clean or dirty. And then you got all those other bizarre patterns and fluorescent towels and sailboats and cats on them. Stop fucking with bath towels. You know, speaking of FedEx a while back, a lot of opening any kind of packaging relies on having strong fingernails. I overheard these two girls yakking outdoors at a restaurant the other day. Oh my God, and she's dating a male stripper. You could have just said, and she's dating a stripper. Or would that make me assume that her friend is a lesbian? Just what I'm saying is stop saying male stripper. If you're talking about a male and the fact that he's a stripper, we know he's a male stripper. Well, wait a minute. That implies men can't be strippers. Discrimination! When would the male stripper oppression end? If only there was a violent socialist organization led by a terrorist representing them. Awkwafina sure is a funny name and voice, doesn't she? That's it. I saw this tripe on someone's Instagram. We are the great-granddaughters of the witches you didn't burn. Ooh, okay, so you're telling me you're evil, so we should probably kill you then, right? Oh, wait, not all witches are bad? Well, why did we try unsuccessfully to burn your great-grandmother? Oh, I see. It's a metaphor that you're powerful. Yeah, I didn't get that, and no one else did either. Can you just make my sandwich now? Well, we've told you what's wrong going on in Amateur Nation. Here's some things that are going right. Three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Saw a great action movie called Close with Noomi Rapace. I hope I'm saying her name right. I loved her work in the movie The Drop with James Gandolfini. I want to say that was his last... No, the last... Was that the last movie he did before he died? Or was the one with Julia Louis-Dreyfus? Either way, Noomi Rapace in the movie The Drop was great. And now she's the star of this action movie called Close. And as an action hero, she crushes it. Uncompromising. And it's well acted. Which, let's face it, many action movies acting like, oh yeah, we have to do some acting. Here's the synopsis. Zoe, a wealthy heiress, is in need of protection when her life is put in danger. A bodyguard and counterterrorism expert, played by Noomi Rapace, is assigned to safeguard Zoe when a kidnapping forces them both to go on the run. You know, everyone complains that there's no good female action heroes. I'm looking at you, Marvel Universe. But she just might be the template. You won't be sorry. Close on Netflix. Number two. This show prides itself on common sense and logic with a healthy dose of sarcasm and humor, of course. If my weekly show just isn't enough common sense for you, check out this website I stumbled upon, commonsenseevaluation.com, and their tagline is Common Sense Observation with an eclectic mix of topics ranging from lifestyle to politics. On their very first page, you'll see a screenshot from the New England Journal of Medicine that says, and I quote, "We know that wearing a mask outside healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from infection. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic." CommonSenseEvaluation.com. And number three. two greatest words ever put side by side returned on Sunday, July 12th. Top Fuel. Just saying those words gives me goosebumps. Drag racing is everything that is right about America. Speed, power, determination, skill, discipline, patience, fearlessness, family, friendship, diversity, inclusion, nothing given, everything earned, bravery, desire, work ethic, and a level playing field. It's not man versus machine, but rather man with machine. And this week's third pro thing is Flying Ryan Ayler, a pro stock motorcycle rider who popped his cherry, earning his first event win. And he picked the right time, the U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis, no less. That's a big win. What's more, he is not knee deep in corporate sponsorship. He's an independent driver, and he beat the best of the best. And he was humble and grateful and a class act in victory. And he beat former world champion Matt Smith, no less. All right, folks, I'm on Instagram at LouSantini3, Twitter at LouSantini, email lou@lousantini.com. This show is heard on 14 platforms and now episodes on my YouTube channel, as well as previews for past and future episodes. It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. Please subscribe, listen, and tell everyone about this show if you value your sanity and common sense and logic like I do. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.